All right, thank you. Again, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity and for Pastor Nick also giving me the opportunity to speak. It still doesn't get easy, and I don't know if I want the Lord to keep asking me so it gets easy or if I just want to be like, okay, this is it. We'll see. But I am definitely grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful that the Lord touches my heart. And so that I can bring this word to you today. So my sermon today is called The True Vine and Human Connection. Humans are wired for connection. It's in our DNA. And it's the connection that is stronger than the need for food, water, and shelter. In our brains, I'm going to give you a little science. I love science. I have a bachelor's degree in biology, so I'm gonna give you a little science before I get into the word. So our brains, we have what's called these mirror neurons. And these mirror neurons help us to read each other's feelings and actions. According to Dr. Amy Banks, they are the underpinnings or the foundation of our connection. When we interact, we stimulate each other's mirror neurons. And it's an automatic, moment-to-moment exchange that connects us. We begin to develop this connection with others at birth. And first it starts with our immediate family, then our extended family, friends, romantic partners, and then on to our children. Therefore, human connection is one of the core developmental needs in us all. And it plays an important role throughout our lifetime. So why do we have this biological and emotional need to connect? What is the purpose? Turn with me to John 15, 1 through 14. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, and so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Nor can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in me. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, that lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I'm also reading from the NIV version. I forgot to mention that. So we see right here when Jesus says that I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, he is showing who he is in relationship to God. He is showing a relationship that's intimate and personal. When Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, he is showing us who we are in relationship to him. And that relationship is intimate and personal. Our connectedness to Christ gives us a relationship with God, the Creator, that is intimate and personal. Furthermore, Jesus tells us that if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. These branches This picture that Jesus is showing us right here, these branches are vitally connected and substantially a part of the vine, who is Jesus Christ. And these branches receive nourishment from the vines. And if they are broken off, just like any gardener would know, they would die. These branches have no real life and no real existence apart from the essential connection to the vine. As my father once preached, if we are not connected to Christ in this vital faith relationship, we have no life. We are unable to find meaning or purpose in living. Meaning or purpose without this relationship. When I was in grad school, I took this class, and Lord forgive me, I can't remember the class, but we talked about the existential crises, and that's what this is, an existential crisis. If we are not connected to God, there's no purpose. What is our purpose? In my 15 years as a therapist, I cannot tell you how many clients I have come in contact with that struggled to resolve this very question, this dilemma of their purpose and their meaning in life. And because of this, they're in so much pain. They are just wrenched with anxiety, depression. They have broken relationships, lost jobs, just beat down by life. People today across the world, men, women, children, continue to search for something that will give them significance and life that matters. Whether it be by their jobs, money, recreation, personal involvement or improvement, and even religious involvement, works. These things will not provide lasting sense of purpose. These things cannot replace the vine. Unfortunately, in my work, I see so many hurt people, so many broken lives, and it's just heartbreaking day in and day out. And I pray every time I go to work, every time I meet with a client, that I see them as the Lord sees them, that I can be some type of support that brings them closer to the Lord. In my work, I can't say, hey, I'm a Christian therapist, come see me, I'll tell you about Jesus and all will be good. Unfortunately, we've got to do it in a way that, and I leave it to the Lord's hands, and I've seen it day in and day out when I leave it in the Lord's hands. I will get a client who will come in and talk about their relationship with the Lord, and I think, bingo, I got my connection, I got my way in. But just because you have that connection, you know, there's still hurt and pain. And so unfortunately, because of the people who are hurting, those people hurt other people, right, Brother Mo? They take other people's lives. And we see this all too well in the world today and how people treat each other, how people who have do not give, how people are divided by race, religion, sex, culture, build a wall. We see this all the time and how people care more for their guns and less for their children's safety, how people allow hunger to take the lives of poor people, how people treat the land and the animals God so graciously gave to us to care for. We see it every day and in every way. This is the real problem, that people are disconnected, cut off from their true vine, Jesus Christ, the true source of life in all of humanity. Ephesians 2:12 says, you were separated from Christ, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Without God, there is no hope. Without God, there is no hope. Connection to the true vine gives life and gives hope. John 15:11, I have told you this, I love this verse. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's what he wants for each and every one of us, those who believe and don't believe. He wants to give us joy, peace, love, abundance of life, so we can continue to worship and glorify his name. John 1:4, in him was life, and the light was the light of man. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what we need to tell our neighbors, right? Amen. He's lying, and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He came for us because he loved us. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This intimate relationship with God through Christ defines us. It gives us significance. It provides us with purpose and meaning in our life. It is being in a personal relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ that establishes our worth and our value. Our worth and our value. No God, no hope. God, worth, value. God affirms that worth based on his gracious love for us and him providing us with the opportunity to be in faith relationship with him. What other religion can say that? What other religion can say that? And how are we as Christians to share this news with those who don't believe, but with love and grace as the Lord has put upon us? My father used to say that for a Christian life to be vital, abundant, and significant, it must be organically and spiritually related to the connection of Christ. Organically, spiritually. This means that we must abide in him. We must be attached to and involved with Christ. It is a personal choice and an act of our own will. So not only does the Lord want this for us, he's giving us a choice. And he is hoping that you take that choice because it's nothing but peace, love, joy, abundance. In our relationship, in our relation to Christ, it must be as vital as that branch is to a vine. This can only be maintained by the faith relationship that is consistently nourished and sustained. As Americans, we're always going, busy, this takes up our time, that takes up our time. We've got to find a way that we push all that aside so we can maintain and nourish that relationship with the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior. We have to find a way to put him first, because when we put him first, all other things fall into order. Easier said than done, right? Same as therapy. Oh, if you do this, then this will. Yeah, easier said than done. It is a difficult thing. But when you continue to nourish that relationship, you start to see, oh my goodness, the first thing I did when I got it was thinking about the Lord. Oh, I'm humming this Christian song in my mind. Or, oh, I wonder what this says in the Bible about this. You're already beginning to put him first because it becomes a natural, intimate, and personal relationship. God wants to come into our hearts. He wants to have access to our lives on a daily basis and to be the foundation as well as the focus of our lives. The foundation and the focus. God offers and desires to have a personal and permanent relationship with us. Permanent. I don't know about anyone else, but I like the word permanent, right? Especially when it's something positive. And so that word permanent, wow, I have a personal relationship with God the Creator, my Father. Personal and permanent. Nothing will get between that relationship. Nothing will break that relationship. And the only thing that gets in the way of that relationship are ourselves. Nothing else. And all he desires is to have that relationship with us. A God who desires to be with the people he created and loved. That's a blessing. I'll throw out a couple of verses. I won't read them because I always get told, you read a lot of verses. So I'll throw out these verses. So if you get a chance to look at them, look at Matthew 28:20 and Hebrews 13:5. So the question again is, why do we have this desire to connect, this emotional and biological? Well, we were crafted and beautifully designed to be in a permanent connection to God, our divine creator. Through Christ by faith and his finished work on salvation, accepting him as our Lord and Savior and allowing his word to richly dwell in our hearts. Through Christ by faith and his finished work of salvation. Finished work. In the beginning, when it says that I am the vine and my Father is the gardener, this is what he's talking about. His work is his Father's work. And his Father asked him to lay down his life for those he loved. And because Jesus loved his Father, so he did it. And because of that, he finished his work so we can have salvation permanently. I'm not really good at like doing long sermons. I'm still working on that. But I wanna close with this. I recently had a client come to me who wasn't connecting with their therapist. And so the supervisor said, oh, I think she'd be a good fit for Corinne. And I get always kind of nervous when I get a transfer client because you kind of feel like, well, geez, what did that other therapist do? Or what's up with this client that this therapist and them don't get along? But I always leave it in the Lord's hands because he called me to do this work. I didn't want to be a therapist. I wanted to be a doctor. I even studied to be a doctor. And the Lord told me to do this. And I fought him along the way. I said, Lord, oh, you were the first social worker and you were a carpenter. You had more than one job. I don't want to be a therapist because I'm going to need another job to keep up with life. But he called me, and slowly I answered. And so the people I come in contact with, I think, what if I didn't listen to the Lord? I wouldn't have been there for them. And so this situation made me think of that. When this young girl, almost about to be 17, says, I'm struggling in life. I'm the only Christian in my home. And my family looks at me as if something's wrong with me. Because I've just come out of the hospital, because I try to take my life, and I don't know what to do. And so I call on the Lord to help me, but I feel so lost. And so we process and work together for a year. A year, she celebrated not going into the hospital. And she says, oh my goodness, I'm so happy that I've been out of the hospital for a year, and I thought, I'm gonna go right back. I even told the doctors when I got out, I'm going right back. And to think I made it this year. Thank you so much. I said, it wasn't me. It was the work of the Lord in you. And she lit up and said, oh, you're one of those undercover therapists that love Jesus. And I said, yeah, you know. But we worked together. And because of this, she was able to connect again with the vine. And she was able to grow and prosper. And she still struggles, right? Because we still struggle as Christians. It doesn't get, you know, it's not perfect. She still struggles day in and day out. With thoughts of feeling unwanted, thoughts of feeling inadequate. And a lot of it has to do with the broken relationship with her family that she's trying to slowly rebuild. And so the other day, some of my clients I play games with, and the little kids I play game with, adults obviously I don't play games with, but this teenager I thought, you need a game. We've been working together for a year. We never played a game together. So she was like, what? So we play this game that's like Jenga, but it has questions. So each time you pick a piece, you read the question. So she got kind of a simple question. What makes you happy? And she sat there for a minute and she says, you know, it's when I'm alone in my room and I think, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And I hear the Lord's voice and he says to me, I'm still here. I love you. I have not gone away. And we looked at each other and I said, Isn't that a blessing? And when we think there's nothing else we can do, when we think we've tried everything, when we think we're Christians, so things should be perfect and go our way, that sometimes we struggle. And the Lord silently says to us and touches our heart that I am still here, that I have not forsaken you, and that I love you. And that was a testimony to my heart of what the Lord has done in this young lady's life. And so I just want to leave you with, even though I have tears, it's a positive thing. And it shows you what the connection of the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ can do for our lives. And although we're Christians, we're going to hit hard times, but we need to continue to nurture and cultivate that personal and permanent relationship with Jesus and give him thanks for who he is and what he's done for us. And so I just thank you for giving me the time again to speak with you all. And I hope that one day I can do like a 45-minute sermon, Pastor, 30-minute maybe. We'll see. But thank you. So I would just like to close in prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that I was able to touch those. Thank you for guiding and directing my heart on this topic, Lord. And I just ask that you continue to allow me to nourish and sustain my personal relationship with you, Lord. And I pray for those who are here today and who are not able to come, that they continue to work on their personal relationship with you, Lord. Thank you for your finished work, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your finished work. And for the love of God, to want to have a personal relationship with me. And we just ask now, Lord, that you continue to guide us and direct us to show your love to the world and to others so they know who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.